Morning, everyone. I requested that last song that we sang, especially for the last part of it, where it speaks about take my life and let it give glory to you. I find that this is a theme, this is an idea that the Bible teaches, that our lives are meant to tell the truth about God, and to tell the truth about God. Before we go into our study today, can we have a quick word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you very much for today. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given to me to come to Kidderminster. I ask that you please help me tell the truth about you in my words, and may all the glory be to you. Please give us the mindset to listen. Give us listening ears. I ask in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Why are you a Christian? You say Christians have a basis for measuring good, and therefore can be good people. However, I know people who are not Christians who are good people. I do not see the purpose of being a Christian. Ironically, I know a few people who refer to themselves as Christians who are not always good people. How you say the Bible defines good? I do not see the point in being a Christian. Why are you a Christian? What you've just heard and what I've just shared with you are a part of a conversation I had with a very good friend of mine. While we were discussing the God revealed in the Bible and Christianity. And those questions were very powerful because I think it helped me reflect on why am I a Christian? Have you ever been asked similar questions? And if so, what was your response? Did you say that I am a Christian because I was born in a Christian environment? Or maybe you said that I am a Christian because the Bible is true. What about the Bible is true to you? Why are you a Christian? The aim of our study today is coming to an intelligent understanding of who a Christian is. Now, as I have stressed from the beginning what I will be doing, I think I should also clarify what I will not be doing. What I will not be doing today is analyzing or prescribing the details around what a Christian should or should not do. Because, one, that will detract, I think, from the lesson of the idea. But also, I believe that when we answer the first question, you will be able to confidently answer the second question. You see, through my Christian experience, I've come to understand that being a Christian is more. It is more than a list of things to be done and things to be shunned. And understanding this more will be our consideration today. Now, our study today is going to be slightly different from how it's been before, because one, it's a new series that we're beginning together. But also, I would like to discuss the Bible with you today. What I will not be doing, from my point of view, I will not be putting myself into the framework of what you think a preacher should be doing today. I will not be giving you the classic sermon, if you want to call it that. You see, we have some guidance on this, especially for our learning, from one of the founders of the Adventist Church, where they say, for example, reflecting on what sermons have become, They say this: in the ministry of the word, there is too much sermonizing and too little real heart-to-heart work. We should seek to awaken the souls and the interest of these souls in the great things of eternal life. That's what I'm going to be doing today, brothers and sisters. So I will not be sermonizing with you, but I will be looking to awaken your interest in the things of eternal life. Something called eternal life, which we're going to touch on in a bit. So please keep that in mind. This thing, eternal life, what is this all about? And so to begin, I want us to start with Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Here we see a letter, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Here we see Paul say something very important in his letter to the people in Rome. I remember when I was putting this study together, I thought about our brother James. You know, who is going through studies at the moment, and he is preparing for baptism. And maybe you can read this for us, James. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20.
For his invisible attributes, namely his internal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, even with it. Ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, for they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator, Creator rather than the Creator.
Okay. So very important here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul sets us off on our journey, which we're going on today. Ever since God created the world. If I was to ask you, ever since God created the world, and you were trying to find out what part of the Bible we're going to go to learn about the creation of the world, where will you be looking?
Genesis.
Genesis. So what Paul is saying, from Genesis, right? From Genesis, ever since God created the world, two things he has created the world to reveal. And he's called these things his invisible qualities. One of them is his eternal power, and the second is his divine nature. And he has created the world so these things can be seen and understood in the things that God has made. So Paul is here reminding us that the creation of the world and the things in it serve to reveal and help us understand two things about God. If we've said something called his power, something about his power. Now, if we just look into it and apply our own interpretation, we might think about his strength. But that's not really what Paul is talking about here. And on this point, I'll make a little pause, because we'll use this principle soon again. And there's something Brother Richard presented a few weeks ago where he spoke about, if you've heard about this word, biblical hermeneutics, right? Which is the study of how to interpret the Bible. Okay? And one of the principles of biblical hermeneutics is that if you see something, rather than reading your own meaning into it, if you want to understand it, it says, a good place to start is to ask the person that wrote it, what does this thing mean? All right. And so this thing called God's power, Paul had actually prepared us for what he was going to say here. If you look at verse number 16 of the same chapter in Romans, Paul describes that God's power is the good news about what Jesus did. That is God's power. So one was his power, and the second thing that God wanted to reveal is something about his nature, the kind of person he is. Have you ever thought why our God will want to reveal these things about himself? Has there ever been any doubt that he is the kind of person he claims to be? Well, as we study the Bible, going through all 66 books, we come to understand that the God of the Bible is being accused of not being the kind of person he claims to be. Sadly, the accusation is started by one of his created angels. We also observe that God is not responding to these charges that have been made against him by saying, "Look here, I am God, and you better do what I say, or I zap you." Rather, we see our Creator God answering these charges that have been made against him by presenting evidence. Evidence of the kind of person he is. And the evidence that he presents of the kind of person he is what Paul is talking about in Romans 1:20. You see, our Creator God chooses to present this world, as we saw from Genesis, and the creations in it as the evidence, as the demonstration of the truth about himself. And so the birds singing, the smell of fresh spring flowers, the sunrises, the sunsets, these views serve the purpose of revealing something about the kind of person our God is. And part of that creation, brothers and sisters, that you'll be very interested to know, and I would agree the crowning jewel, is you and me. Human beings also have the purpose of revealing the kind of person God is to his other creations, on earth and in heaven. We see evidence of God using any opportunity he has to speak highly of us before the heavenly family, just as he did of Job, if you want to remember that. Now, sometimes people misunderstand this idea that God created human beings to demonstrate the truth about himself as God using us. Have you heard that before? I know I have, not long ago. Do you not find it amazing that God did not choose the angels to tell the truth about himself? I think God seeing no greater evidence to demonstrate the truth about himself than us shows us how highly he thinks of us, how much he trusts us. Now, while God has created human beings for this purpose, we see that he does not force us to fulfill that purpose, as that is not the kind of person he is. You see, God made a claim of himself that he is love. And now he has to demonstrate that with evidence, like we said, right? God always demonstrates with evidence. And God is love, and we find that love does not force its own way on others. And so therefore, he doesn't force us to fulfill this purpose. Sadly, we see that after the creation, through the exercise of the freedom of choice that man is created with, most of mankind chooses to believe the lies about God spread by that created angel. And this created angel is, as we keep studying and we're moving through the Bible, we find that he is described as the father of lies. Now, as mankind separates itself from God by believing the lies about him being spread by this angel, we see God working with mankind to help them understand the truth about himself. And why does he want to do that? It's to win them back over to trust. And this is where we see our first Christians. There have always been Christians in the Bible. They were not always referred to as Christians, however. Maybe you've heard some of these names. I'll give you three. Have you ever heard of a person or some being called God's friend? Ever heard that? That was in Genesis and in Exodus, actually. In Exodus, we have God's friend. And even we know Abraham is in Genesis, and he's later described as God's friend as well. Have you ever heard of this other one, this other name? A man after God's own heart. Have you ever heard that name? Okay. Just know the name of a Christian, that is. Now, the third name is very common in the Bible. Have you ever heard of this one? Servants of God. Have you ever heard that? Yeah? Same idea. The Bible abounds with various descriptions of these people. And while they are given different names, different descriptions, there is one thing we find as a common attribute about these people. These are people, very important point now, these are people who choose to live their lives to reveal the truth about God. In other words, these are people who choose to fulfill their purpose from Romans 1:20. The purpose of revealing the truth about God. An interesting point here is that they fulfill their purpose in a variety of ways. And I think it is important for us to remember this point, that we can fulfill our purpose of revealing the truth about God in various ways. Now, I will have a little branch off here for a minute or two for the young people in the house. You see, ever since I started preaching 2 years ago, I've had the opportunity to travel, and I've met a lot of young people. And part of those opportunities have also been to study with them. And there is a common thought that is in the minds of young people that are in the church. And that thought is, what does God want me to do? I don't know what God wants me to do. How do I realize God's will for me? And I believe that that thought is born out of a good place. It's from a good place that says, I don't want to disappoint God with what I'm going to do. Let God help me do this. But what we find is, that thought also carries the idea that I want God to take away my freedom to choose what I want to do. Let God just give it to me, and I will just follow along and do whatever he says I should be doing. If he wants me to be a singer, let him just tell me, sing. And that's what I'm meant to be doing. If he wants me to work as an engineer, let him come and tell me in my ear when I'm sleeping, you're an engineer, and that's it. But if he doesn't tell me, I am a deer in the headlights. I recently read a publication speaking about understanding God's will for your life, and the author captures this thought very, very clearly. And I want to share this with you. The author says, God gave you a brain, use it. And they quickly follow it up with, God will not do for man what man can do for himself. You see, young people, what we find very clear in the Bible is crystal clear understanding of purpose. Purpose and how you accomplish the purpose are two different things. The purpose has always been to reveal the truth about God. Now, the question you have to ask, and trust me, this is a question you have to ask, is what I want to do, what I like doing, if it's playing the bass guitar, if it's singing, if it's teaching, right? What I want to do, how is this helping me fulfill that purpose? And all of a sudden, things become very clear. You see, God loves variety. God doesn't want us all to stand here and speak, because we might not all like it. And to some people, we'll be able to reveal the truth about God by being an engineer. Some people, by being teachers, will be able to fulfill the purpose. One is not more important than the other. They are all doing the same thing. That's a bit of encouragement for the young people. If you ever have that question, what does God want me to do with my life? Maybe ask the side question, how is what I want to do, what I like doing? We all have different likes. How is what I like doing going to help me reveal the truth about God? And so we see that the Bible is not a list of things to be done and things to be shown. Rather, the Bible is a record of God revealing the kind of person He is to people like you and me. The Bible helps us understand our purpose. The Christians in the Bible serve as God's ambassadors. Do you know what ambassadors mean? Representatives to the people who do not know the truth about God. We see God working with His friend and ambassador Abraham, for example, in Genesis, when He says to Abraham that in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because you have demonstrated a willingness to listen. And so we see Abraham doing various things. Now, I have an analogy here, which is, we see Abraham using the brain that he has to do what will help him fulfill the purpose of revealing the truth about God. And I've got a little analogy here. Okay, and this is, again, going back to the young people. When I wrote the study, I estimated right about now my throat is going to be dry. I did think about that as well. Okay? And now God gave me a brain, as I said to you, to use it, right? So if I say, you know, God, I don't know what I should be doing when I'm preaching. So I'm thirsty now. Please just give me water. Let it just fall into my mouth so I can drink it and be refreshed. Okay? That would not seem practical. But He gave me a brain, and He told me, if you're thirsty, you go and get water and you drink it. And so I prepared this glass of water for myself, because I'm going to use it now. Okay? So, but it's part of the analogy, by the way, so please follow me. So He gave me this water that I have prepared. I've used my brain to put it right there so it doesn't spill. Now, the question is this. Is what I have done helping me fulfill the purpose? And the answer is yes. Because by having a clear throat, I can speak and project a lot better. This is what I mean by what you do and the purpose. So going back to Abraham, God says that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have demonstrated a willingness to listen. Listen to guidance in fulfilling your purpose. And the Apostle Paul then picks up that idea and he helps us further understand that this seed of Abraham that was being talked about, that God was speaking to Abraham about, is Jesus Christ. And now we come to Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're tracing, we're following the theme, all right, of how this idea of Christians. And so we come to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, or if you like it in the Greek, Jesus Christos. This Jesus Christos is described, I don't know if you know this is going to blow you away right now. This Jesus Christos is described as the very same Creator God who created this world and the things in it for the purpose of revealing the truth about Himself. Remember, we saw that. Romans 1:20. That is who this Jesus Christos is. This Jesus Christos, this Jesus Christ, is described as the Creator God becoming something that He was not before. And what is that? Is a human being like you and me. Question. How much of a human being did this Creator God become? 50%? 100%? 100%! You see, this Jesus Christ is God saying two things to us. One, that I have come to show you myself, because up till now you've been hearing from my friends and you've been seeing things, but I have come to show you myself the kind of person I am. So you don't misunderstand it. You have a clear understanding of who I am. Now, this obviously brings up a question. I told you we're going to touch on this earlier. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? And so there's that famous verse that we have in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that says that God so loved the world that He gave the world Jesus Christ. Okay? God come in the flesh. That anyone who believes that this is God in the flesh will not perish but have something called everlasting life. If I was to ask you now, what is everlasting life? What will you say?
Life that does not cease.
Life that does not cease. Any other ones? What is everlasting life? What is everlasting life? Where do we get that definition of everlasting life from? Just if we want to use the what the word means. But remember we spoke about biblical hermeneutics, right? That if you want to understand what John means by life eternal, we ask who? John. And so John says this thing in John 3:16, but I want you to now turn with me to John 17:3. Turn with me to John 17:3. Let's come to understand what does John mean by everlasting life, because this is what Jesus came to bring to us. And what does John 17:3 say? That this is what everlasting life means. That they might know God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. So, go back to John 3:16 now, with our new understanding of everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but should, through Jesus, come to an understanding of the kind of person God is. And so this is the first thing that Jesus Christ is saying as God, that I have come to show you myself the kind of person I am. Second thing that He's doing is encouraging us that we can fulfill the purpose of revealing the truth about God as human beings. You see, there's a teaching within the church at the moment, I don't know if you've encountered this yet, that says we cannot fulfill the purpose of revealing the truth about God. Not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. Not in this life. We will not be able to do it. I don't know if you've heard it, but I've heard it in my travels. But Jesus is here clarifying that we can fulfill that purpose. And this is why the Bible then says that He is our example. He shows us what is possible for us. You see, this Jesus Christ is God answering this question. And I've phrased this question in a way that might sound familiar to you. So let's see how good your Bible understanding is. This Jesus is God answering the question, hath God said that human beings with flesh and blood can fully fulfill the purpose of revealing the truth about God? Who asks questions like that? We see the enemy asks questions like that. And the answer is yes, by the evidence we have in Jesus. And so this is why one of the founders of the Adventist Church realizes this. They take John 3:16, they take John 17:3, they look at all these evidences, and they said this. Look at this now. The plan of redemption had a yet broader and deeper purpose than the salvation of man. It was not, notice what it was not for. It was not for this alone that Christ came to the earth. It was not merely that inhabitants of this little world might regard the law of God as it should be regarded. That's what it was not. Now let's look at what it was for. Look at this now. But it was to vindicate the character of God before the universe. This is why Jesus came. As we've seen in John 17:3. Coupled with John 3:16. Now, those who choose to be students of this Jesus Christ, or there's the nice word, disciples, okay? Those who choose to be disciples or followers or students, all the same thing, are identified by this name which we have today in Acts 11:26. They're called Christian. But don't forget, it's only a name. They've always been Christians, as we've seen. This is just what the name is today. And so, if you make the decision to be a Christian, I want to encourage you to consider these two points. Firstly, be self-aware. You are never not on duty as an ambassador of God. This is what you were created for. Not as a Christian, but as a human being. But we find that Christians are the ones who choose to fulfill that purpose. No one's forcing you. But if you want to be called a Christian, you are choosing to fulfill the purpose. So be aware you were never not on duty as an ambassador of God. I found, from my experience, that it does pay to review how well you are allowing God help you in fulfilling the purpose. The purpose. Take some time out of your day, out of your week, to speak with God. I promise you, He loves to hear from you. You see, review how the day and the week has gone. Be aware that being careless with your thoughts, words, and actions can misrepresent God. As a Christian, you are God's light to the world. Do you remember that, Richard? That was your sermon? You are God's light to the world. And so, let that light shine as bright as it can. So that's the first thing I want you to bear in mind. Okay? As Christians, we are to give people the opportunity to know the kind of person God is by the kind of people we are. And so my question to you is this: are you giving people around you the best opportunity that they can have of knowing the kind of person God is? Or are you not mindful if the way you are speaks well of our God or not? Secondly, as an ambassador of God, it is a good thing to be interested in knowing the one that you are representing. You know, we have brand ambassadors, social media. The young people will realize, social media brand ambassadors. right? Brand ambassadors are representing something, right? And they try their best to know that thing, to know as much of the production chain, the supply chain of that thing, to be able to speak about it. And so as ambassadors of God, be interested in knowing who you are representing. Some of the finest evidences, brothers and sisters, of the kind of person God is are revealed in the biblical record. Be interested in God. Be interested in Him. Be interested in personal Bible study. Remember, we had a study not long ago about what is the impact in my life of personal Bible study? I know that's been recorded. So if you want to learn about that, you can check the Kingdom Insta Fellowship website and listen to it again. But be interested in personal Bible study. Be hungry for a knowledge of God. See, the more truth you know about God, the better you can fulfill your purpose of revealing the truth about Him. Now, very, very critical part of our study, because I'm about to, I'm on the downward slope now. What kind of person do you think God is? So you're going to go represent God now as Christians. What kind of person do you think God is? What kind of person are you going to go and represent Him as? If you are going to show the truth about God, what is this truth you're going to show about God? Some of the greatest damages to God's reputation, to the kind of person He is, to God Himself, have not been done by Muslims or atheists or Buddhists or any other ist that you want to add to that ist list. It has been done by people who claim to be God's representatives. And so when God came as a human being and He was revealing the truth about Himself, doing what He did, if you want to use the new lingo, doing His own thing, right? The people who claimed to be His representatives said to Him, "This is not the kind of person we know our God to be." They said to Him, "He has a devil in Him." The greatest damages to God's reputation have not been done by God's enemies. They have been done by those who claim to be God's friends. And so, a humbling thought on this is that God was killed by people who claim to be His friends. The people who killed God, brothers and sisters, were a group of Seventh-day Sabbath-keeping, tithe-paying, health-reforming Adventists. Did that land? The people who killed God were a group of Seventh-day Sabbath-keeping, tithe-paying, health-reforming Adventists. And that is a warning for us to continually review the truth about God that we think we know. You see, do you see God as an unforgiving celestial policeman trying to get people out of heaven, looking for the opportunities to zap you whenever He can? Or do you see God as a friend? As a friend who is looking for opportunities to embrace us and speak well of us before the onlooking universe, like He did of Job when He said, "He has said of me what is right." When we exercise our free will to become Christians, we sign up to be brand ambassadors of God. And Do you know what brand ambassadors do, like we said before? They know, they get to understand the product. Understand who you're representing. Be hungry for that. And so, I've got a friend of mine here called Darren. Darren's right at the back, right? And Darren is a very special friend of mine. And I'll tell you why he's a special friend of mine. Is Darren reviews my sermons. Okay? And Darren reviews my sermons, checking for two things for me. He checks for the coherence of thought, okay, that the idea has been carried along correctly, and he also checks the ease of understanding. And one thing I didn't tell you before is Darren is that friend with whom I had the conversation with. But he doesn't know it either. He thought about it when he reviewed this study. And he said to me, is this that conversation that we had? And unfortunately, I told him no, because I wanted to surprise him today. But Darren is the one with whom I had the conversation with. And so, Darren, and brothers and sisters, this is why I want to be a Christian. I have chosen to be an evidence of the kind of person that our Creator God is. And I have devoted every fiber of my being to be used for the purpose of revealing the truth about God, even when nobody is looking. And so, in conclusion, we had that question that, is the purpose of being a Christian a good person? And I think that we can confidently say from the study today, no. That being a good person will be a result of being a Christian. But being a good person is not what identifies a Christian. How many of us know people who are good people who are not Christian? Show of hands. You agree. Our discussion today is really captured in how this Christian theologian puts it, and sadly they passed away now. They passed away from cancer. I think it's appropriate in bringing our study to a close, and we close on this point. This is what they said. Like Abraham and Moses, the ones God spoke of as his trusted friends, God's friends today want to speak well and truly of our Heavenly Father. We desire, as the highest of all commendations, the words of God about Job, that he has said of me what is right. And so, brothers and sisters, as we enjoy the rest of our Sabbath today, it will be my prayer that we remember our purpose as honest Christians to reveal the truth about God and to speak well of our Creator God through our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Amen.
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 Can you bow your head in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you very much for today. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us to study and to see the truths about you. Thank you for helping us understand our purpose of revealing the truth about you. As we proceed with the rest of the Sabbath, please help us to remember this purpose while we are at work, while we are with friends, while we are with our families. Help us remember this purpose of revealing the truth about you. Guide us. As you said, you will bring to our remembrance the things that you have taught us. Please help us remember this purpose. Thank you for everyone here, and be with us as we carry on with the Sabbath. I ask in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.